Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It is Cody and Gold. Another rainy, cloudy day on the horizon. You can watch us, though. It's good news for the stream, I'll be honest. Cloudy days is a good sign for the stream if you're watching us on Twitch or
makes
X.
You look less like a ghoulish monster hiding in the corner.
So, yeah.
You actually, could, we just turn on the light so you don't look that way.
You can watch the show on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, X, wherever you want, in addition to the Odyssey app. And, of course, those of you driving around Kansas City as well. You can hit us up on the Jay Southland Soul Service text line, 913-586-7610. A little bit later on today, 11 o'clock, Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated going to join us. We'll get his perspective on what he's maybe hearing around the draft, which is a week from tonight. A week from tonight, we're going to be hanging out the landing in Ooh. Liberty, all the talk of the draft, starting to hopefully just get to I'm at the point, I'll be honest, like, well, let's get to the draft. Like, let's get to it. I can't imagine if you were in a city like Chicago where you've known for months you're drafting Caleb Williams. You're like, let's get to this thing and let's move forward.
Yeah,
I'm kind of there already, even here at pick 32. Like, let's get to it. I'm ready. Next Thursday night, hope to see you guys at the landing in Liberty. And, of course, we've got our watch party presented by Hy-Vee and a chance for you to win $610. You just got to go right on the front page of 610sports.com. There's the draft form. Predict the draft. You think you know how it's going to play out? You fill that out. You bring it next Thursday night to the landing, and you'll have a chance to win $610 plus some Chiefs merchandise.
I only take a 5% royalty if you ask me any questions about who you think is going at any point. That's it. Just 5%.
Oh, you're
a pretty good rate.
You're offering advice.
I'm offering draft advice.
But you want a cut.
Yeah, I want a cut.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm not allowed to win the prize because
not.
I'm an Odyssey employee.
That's true.
That's against the contest rules.
That's right. That's right.
So it's unfortunate. But it is going to be a great time. We're going to have fun out there at the landing. Always fun to watch the draft together. And certainly, we know we'll be hanging out most of the night because
it's going to be 10:40, 10:30.
Unless the NFL trade we're talking about at 11 o'clock goes through, we're going to be waiting a minute for the Chiefs to make some selections. But I always find that fascinating because then it's like how many wide receivers have gone? Which tackles it? Yeah. Who's falling before we get closer and closer to the Chiefs? Once it starts getting about 15, 16, 17, start getting a little more dialed in where you're like, okay, how many good players are left for the Chiefs?
I'll be honest, for the sake of our draft party next Thursday, if they do trade out of the first round, don't do it till late. I know some people are like, oh, well, I don't want to be waiting around and then they trade. No, for the sake of our party, selfishly, No, they cannot announce next Thursday early on in the draft somehow that they're trading out of the first round. It usually doesn't work that way anyway, but
usually pretty late.
Yeah, but don't do that. Don't do that. They can trade out. I'm fine with them trading out of the first round. We'll talk to Matt about that. Just don't do it early, because then if
we don't kill the buzz.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Yeah, sure. Don't do that whatsoever. So again, that's next Thursday night at the Landing. Well, let's talk some Royals baseball. They're off today, and then they open up a homestand this weekend against the Orioles. And tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more about the homestand and what's ahead specifically. But they finished the road trip 500. And I don't care who you are in baseball, but certainly with where this team has been in the past, I'll always sign up. Always sign up for a 500 road trip. I don't care who you're playing, whether it's the White Sox or you're playing the Dodgers and the Yankees. You always sign up for a 500 road trip, especially when you take a deeper look at what occurred during the road trip. A road trip in which they once again got great pitching, and that includes the bullpen too. Not just started, the bullpen was actually really good.
Yep, for sure.
But the offense disappeared for a couple days, and that's going to happen across the baseball season. It's why they were able to have a 500 road trip, because when the bats weren't there, the pitching still was. And a year ago, when the bats weren't there, there also wasn't any pitching, and that's why the team was X amount of games already under 500. The reason why this team is 12-7 right now is because while the offense struggled, their pitching still stabilized things. They got multiple guys really struggling right now. Two of the longest hitless streaks based on plate appearances are on this team, and yet they're a team that's 12-7.
Look, I can only solve one problem at a time. I'm working on a Michael Garcia song. MJ Melendez's problems have got to be put on the back burner for me at the moment.
Longest plate appearance streak since their last hit. Michael Garcia has the third longest streak right now, 25 plate appearances. Then I think Melendez has like the sixth or seventh longest at 23 plate appearances. And yet the team had a 500 road trip, and that's why you can, you know, there shouldn't be any panic or anything. And you're right, Cody. You said you've been demanding a Garcia song.
Yeah, that's correct. And you said you can't stop me because the Pasquantino one is still bearing fruit.
I just mentioned Melendez is struggling. Are you, why are you only picking Garcia now?
Well,
confused how you're doing this.
Garcia was already on my radar for struggling because he was struggling before this long hitless streak. And so it just, I don't know, just like stood out more maybe at the time.
You know there's some risk with this, right? Because you're
what's
correct.
The risk?
Here's the risk for you. Great success on Pasquantino re-air.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't pulled up the stats recently, but he might be hitting 500 since.
Because Vinny's still hitting very well. And so you can ride that and ride that for a long time. But you know what happens on the flip side.
Up the next one.
If you sing a new Garcia song that you're promising, I guess, at some point in the next day, and Garcia still doesn't hit for a day or two, or that night, tomorrow night, let's call it.
Then you're calling it over.
Then what do you say?
Look, then we'll have to have a different conversation. But in the 7 games since we did the live Pasquantino, 500, 567 on base, 1,000 slugging percentage, 1650 OPS. Man's got 3 home runs, 10 RBI, and 5 walks. Only 2 strikeouts in those 7 games. He's been on a tear.
Oh, yeah. He's been one of the best hitters in baseball recently.
So I am willing, because the offense, you're right. The reason why I'll take the 3-3 road trip is, one, 500 road trips in general, just for baseball's sake, you normally should just kind of lock in if you can get them. It's harder to play in different parks because your team's not built around it. We see that specifically with this Royals team. But more importantly, like you said, they straight up are not hitting. They got like 2 guys in the lineup who are getting on base. One of them is Hunter Renfroe. The other is Vinny Pasquantino. Bobby's still hitting fine. But, you know, they don't have a lot of things going offensively, and they still got through a 5-0 road trip. They weren't going to beat as much as I thought, maybe for a little bit. They weren't going to win all 13 games, I didn't think, against the White Sox.
They could have wrapped up the season series yesterday.
Locked in a 7 win total.
They could have already wrapped up on April the 8th or 17th, I guess, then yesterday. The season series. We're going to have to wait until they play again in July for them to lock that up.
So I figured it was better to wait, but we can. I'm open here on the text line. 913-586-7610. The Michael Garcia song is done.
It's done.
You might remember that I pitched 3 possible songs a couple of days ago that I was considering for the Michael Garcia song. I chose none of those.
Okay.
So despite the fact I took it to air and we were talking about I'm in love with a stripper or Hips Don't Lie, or I think everyone's seeming favorite at the time, which was Maria Maria, to the tune of Garcia Garcia, I wanted to maintain some of the things that worked with Pasquantino, which was, for starters, the song is called Pasquantino. This song is called Michael. It's named right after him. There's no mystery in it. It is his name, and that's the song I'm singing. I don't want to ruin it by saying which song and to the listeners, but good news is for you. In about a half an hour, my son Desmond drew a picture teasing what the song will be for tomorrow.
I have a guess, I think, as to what the song...
You have a guess, huh?
I do, as to what the song title
will
be.
Don't guess it out loud. You can tell me in break.
I won't.
But it's out there. The song is complete, but I figure we should save it for a game day. So my opinion is that we wait to air the song until tomorrow because that's what worked for Pasquantino. Everybody in agreement?
Oh, it makes sense. They're not playing tonight.
Someone says, Garcia will be fine. Yeah, it'll be fine as soon as the song airs. It's early and every player slumps. And that I don't disagree with. We talked about with that text,
what I've been saying the whole time. That by the time this season is over, if we're the pace we're on right now,
sing a song for
is
all 26
that you're
players?
Gonna be singing a song for everybody on the roster because yes, it's a 162 game baseball season. Mikel Garcia, MJ Melendez, Vinny, who you know, Bobby even, believe it or not, might have a couple game slot.
Bobby
already has a song. I know it's crazy, but
it's cool. I don't have to write a new one.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr. is here is already a song.
Yeah. That's going to happen. I don't care if you're a 110 win baseball team, you're going to have players that go through 5, 6, 7 game slides. But this is the precedent we have now set on the show going forward for the 2024 baseball season.
Oh man, they are. Yeah. I mean, I'm not promising a song for every player. It worked for Vinny. Garcia was mired in a slump and I thought I'd try to help. Look, the problem is I might set myself up poorly because if Garcia, let's say, over the weekend goes 9 for 15, get some ribbies, feels good. But MJ Melendez's cold streak continues. I got a whole nother problem. I don't even have an idea of a song I would do for MJ Melendez.
Yeah, so that's Drew look up the other day, just what, you know, we like to do. We've talked about having new t-shirts in the future and things like that. I had Drew look up the cost for custom molded earplugs, Cody and Gold earplugs for those that
just
text
for
in. There's a couple people that text in. They says my dog's ears can only take so much. So I don't know if we need to have some custom Cody and Gold earplugs just for the 2 minute stretch. For those that say they're going to change the station when the song is sung and things like that, we can get some custom Cody and Gold ones.
One thing I hadn't looked at is length of song, because I tried to honor some things that worked for the Pasquantino song. The Pasquantino song was 2 minutes and 4 seconds.
Yeah. Are you worried that this is going to mess that up? That you can't have...
Oh, you can't have two songs floating around at the same time?
That's right. That's right.
I'll be honest. Hadn't considered that. I would hope that that's not the case.
The ones that I'm looking up right now, $26, actually, not too expensive. 31 decibel noise reduction.
For how many? Just one pair?
Yes.
No, I'm talking about promotional ones, Drew.
He means foam ones.
We need the foam ones with a CNG on it, and we can order about 1,000 of those, please.
You want to be able to
order those? Promotional
foam? I have no idea. We need some promotional Cody and Gold earplugs.
Well.
Just to be used during songs being sung on the radio.
I mean, it does appear you can get promotional earplugs with graphics on them.
Well, I'm sure you can get you can get your logo on anything, so that doesn't surprise me.
You're not surprised by that? Okay.
1,000 of them.
Well, either way, the song's done, and I think we should do it tomorrow. Mm. I will send out a photo that indicates what song I have covered later. Desmond drew me a picture to try to give you... It's like a game of guessing, so that way you can figure out what it is. I honestly feel really good about the Royals still. Like, I know that they let that one get away yesterday, but they could have let both get away. They were trailing. The offense was struggling. Salvador Perez stepped up to the plate, mashed a homer. Bullpen shut it down, and they got the first one. The more important of the two to just guarantee the series win, guarantee your first road series, guarantee a 500 road series. And they were still in it till the bitter end then. Honestly, if Dairon Blanco doesn't get caught stealing, taking second, there's a decent chance they tie that game up too. They let it get away, which happens certainly in those games, but still, I feel very good about the Royals.
Yeah, 500.
I'm ready for Massey to come up and some other offensive players to keep going, but still, I mean, I feel okay with it.
And assuming if Massey's back is good after, yes, he had another home run in AAA Omaha, by the way. His back is good to go and feeling good still today after the game, you wonder if that's a move we mentioned yesterday. Other than calling up the 27th man for the doubleheader, they hadn't made a move with the big league club. I think the Royals are now the last team, because the Rockies, I think, made a move yesterday. So I think the Royals are the last team in baseball now, other than because of a doubleheader, haven't made a move related to the big league club, which is not normal for this time. It speaks to, one, how well things are going. Also, they've been healthy. And so we'll see if there's a move this weekend at all on the Massey front. Maybe tomorrow. It depends on how he's feeling.
I think he's probably feeling okay. My guess is that he's probably getting called up soon, especially because he's hitting well and the rest of the offense isn't. That makes the decision even easier. You're like, well, you know what? He's had a week down there, week and a half down there getting at bats. He's hit a homer in two straight games. Yeah, just get Massey up and we'll be good to go.
Coming up in 15 minutes, there is a hypothetical Chiefs trade scenario that could change how next Thursday night goes in a massive way. We'll get to that coming up in 15 minutes. But first of all, when we've discussed where the game of college basketball is going recently, it's all centered around what would happen post Caitlin Clark, right? Like the growth of the game and these record television numbers, and does that translate to the WNBA and things like that? And so the WNBA draft was earlier in the week, okay? And Caitlin Clark, as expected, got drafted number one overall. Indiana Fever's the team. And so, like any sport, there was an introductory press conference that took place yesterday for Caitlin Clark. And I'll just play you this initial interaction. This is what some people are talking about today. And yesterday it went viral. And it was a columnist at the Indianapolis Star, the Indy Star, Greg Doyle, who's been around for a very long time. I think he used to write nationally for CBS, if I'm not mistaken, at one point in time. Maybe he still does. And I have to describe the beginning because at first the audio, you won't know what he's saying. But we all know multiple athletes have done like the heart-shaped thing, right, to their yep. family, to the crowd or whatever. Okay, so that's what he is referencing at the beginning of this clip. And then just listen to the rest of it.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like yeah, that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be get along just fine. So.
Okay, so that was Greg
so
Doyle.
Uncomfortable.
He's doing the hard thing to her. She plays along with it at first, and really throughout, I guess. But and is like, yeah, that's what I do with my family. And the part at the end, obviously, is what has everybody talking in particular. It's just super awkward and creepy. That's all I would say. Like, I see people overreacting a little bit. Like, I'm not certainly going to come on here and be like, oh my gosh, this guy has to be fired today. You're a creep though. You're creepy and awkward as hell for having that interaction whatsoever. And he, of course, has since apologized and wrote a column about it. But
I like that you're here.
That part is also just super
weird. I like
that
you're here. Look, I...
Yeah.
Okay, so... I am also in the camp that I don't think he, like, I've seen articles that'll be like, he sexually harassed her and that he should be fired or he should resign. I am not that far in the camp, though I imagine he went to bed last night, or at least I hope he went to bed last night, really regretting that interaction. And I'll just be honest, there's been enough people in my life that I don't think that you should be allowed to just be like, well, I'm awkward, so sorry that it's awkward to be around me sometimes as an excuse for your behavior. Because look, we've had workplaces, all that stuff, where people just be like, oh, that's just who old Greg is. And you're like, not if you're making it super uncomfortable for the single biggest female athlete in the world. And then I'll be honest, I didn't like that he took that chance to get clicks on an article.
They wrote an
that
apology.
Didn't feel great.
Somewhat of an apology column that was more seeking sympathy for himself, basically saying that I interact this way with all athletes, including male athletes, and that I guess I need to do it differently. The thing is, he wouldn't have, let me play it again. The last part, would he have said that to LeBron James?
I like that you're here. I like
yeah,
that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's
cool.
start doing it to me and we'll be get along just fine.
Start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine. There's no change. Like, the notion that, like, well, I just have these interactions with all athletes. He would not have done that to LeBron James. Or, by the way, take the stardom part out of it. Like, it just any athlete. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. It's just super creepy and awkward. That's all it is. Like, that's how I would, it's super creepy, awkward. It sounds like from those in Indianapolis that he is known to be awkward and all, but as you said, that doesn't mean that
doesn't excuse poor behavior.
It doesn't mean you can make other people uncomfortable intentionally, because that's just who you are. Like, sorry, I'm going to be that guy. You just got to deal with it. That's not how this plays out. And look, that's not how this works.
By the way, he does claim he would say that exact same thing to people like LeBron.
No
James.
Chance. There's no way he would
said,
have said the
I'm
last
sort
sentence.
Of known locally, Cy, for having awkward conversations with people, brashly conversations. I've done this for years. Chuck Pagano, Frank Reich, Shane Steichen. Notice something. This is from the article. Quote, notice something about all those names. They're all men. And then he says, look, denial. I did nothing wrong. I gave her signature heart shape. That was okay. So look, that to me is the awkward part. You're just an awkward person. You're like, oh, I thought it'd be funny if I did her signature heart thing to her.
Yes.
Well, but that
then,
part's not
but
the problem.
But then when it gets like worse, it's like, why did you keep doing this? And he's like, anger. This is how I talk to everyone. I thought we wanted people to be treated equal. You can't say stuff like that. I'll just be honest. If you got someone in your life who says things like, I don't see color, that is not an excuse for like, I treat everyone equal. No, that's not how life works. there are variances in how you should treat and act near people for a variety of reasons. He did apologize. I don't think that he is insincerely apologetic, but even the apology was awkward like the interaction, which maybe speaks to the personality. It's fine. Just an incredibly awkward person. I just don't think that excuses huge mistakes. I don't think you can just blow him off and saying, well, I'm awkward, so
I think Drew, this was your hometown, yes, right? So I don't know if you know him personally, but
I've never, to my knowledge, I've never met Greg personally, but we've had some back and forth before on social media, I think, and just articles that he's written, and he's very good, I think, at writing and covering stuff. But I think again, in that same light, to your point, Cody, there's a line that you don't cross, and I think he didn't need to say anything about. He needed to just recognize, look, I messed up and this is not right, and not try to go into the, I say the same thing to me, because at that point you're making excuses at that point, and it comes across as even as you're not going to sacrifice your behavior or how you cover athletes even after this instance, where this is something that, again, who know, any athlete, it would be an issue, but it's Caitlin Clark and the number one overall pick and the superstar. And it makes it come across a lot worse, but you have to learn from it, I think, in that. And we'll, I don't know, we'll just see who the, like, if it changes. And I'm not saying that that's a pass, but it is tending to be who he kind of is.
The end of the article does say, after going through denial and anger, I'm on the wrong side of this. I realize what I said and how I said it was wrong. I meant it was just wrong. Caitlin Clark, I'm so sorry. It's not so, like, the article is short. It explains why, but like in a way, so it's short. He's apologetic. I think he understands what he did was wrong, but it also spends the first half excusing the behavior. I interact this way with everybody.
Yes.
And you're like, but that in itself is an issue, and you should probably work on that rather than have these incredibly tense. And look, I'll be honest, that audience is going to live forever because it's really,
I like that you're here.
It's just really
Caitlin,
uncomfortable.
And to her credit, she handled it as well as she could have in that regard. She just moved on.
Unless she just said that was a really weird thing to say. That would have been even better. That was a weird thing to say.
So that got a lot of people talking yesterday evening, really, and in Indianapolis, of course. And the other part is the bigger news, I think, that should be more relevant to going forward and what Caitlin Clark can mean for women's sports is that yesterday there's a report that Nike is signing into an 8-figure endorsement deal, and she's going to get her own signature shoe. Which
is rare for
which is
athletes.
Rare. There's some athletes out there that do have one that are in the WNBA right now, as a matter of fact. But again, it speaks to the marketing opportunity for Caitlin Clark that this is the shoe that everybody will talk about. Even though there's been other WNBA players with a signature shoe, this is the athlete. We saw the TV ratings. She's marketable. Caitlin Clark is got her jersey sold out on, I think, Fanatics within the first 12 hours actually of being drafted by the Indiana team. And so now she's got her own signature shoe on the way, and I imagine that shoe is going to sell out and do very, very well. It's why Nike's signing her to an 8-figure endorsement.
It's really unfortunate that thing was mired by, like, the introductory press conference, the announcement of the big Nike deal, and all that stuff was overshadowed by the Greg Doyle stuff, because you're right, Cole, that is a massive deal. And also buries any of the people like Darren Revelle, who should also be made fun of today, for the, like, I can't believe she's leaving so much money on the table. What a huge mistake to go to the WNBA. Look at all the NIL money she won't have. She's signing a 10 or what?
She was always going to be fine.
Eight figure deal for Nike. She's fine. Yeah. But there were a lot of people with like false takes on like she's giving up money to go to the pros because the WNBA salary is less. It's just not true.
In terms of just like outside of endorsements, I guess it would have been less. But the fact that she was going to be a Nike athlete and all the other stuff that she's going to get, and I think she had to deal with Gainbridge even. Or something along those lines, who sponsors the Fieldhouse in Indy.
I don't even know. With who?
Gainbridge.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is.
Just a company or something?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was like...
Am I supposed to know that?
The amount of times that they've changed the name too is...
Yeah. Gotcha. No, I mean, she is going to do just fine financially, marketing-wise.
State Farm, obviously, too, already.
Those endorsements that she had, as you said, are carrying over to the WNBA, even though her actual salary isn't anything that's going to stand out. She's going to make millions. And that was even before this latest Nike deal.
I want to know the holdover for all of her popularity on both
what
it brings to the WNBA and what it leaves behind in college. Because her, it's her. Like, let's just face it, it's definitely her. because the WNBA got like 4 million people 2 years ago, then 8 million, then like 16 million. It doubled each of the last 2 years. The draft quadrupled in ratings. Now look, the WNBA draft has shown slow growth over the course of a number of years. 100,000, 150, 250, 300. Like, it has shown growth every year. But it went from 500,000 to 2.2 million in a single year because of Caitlin Clark. And so what she brings, what she leaves behind for college, women's college basketball, and what she brings to the WNBA, it's going to be really interesting because she is one of the most popular athletes in the United States.
It's why that ESPN and the TV partners for WNBA are putting, you know, all her games essentially on national television, and it's
36 of the 40 are on national TV.
As you said, what will be fascinating to watch is the numbers, because how many people that never watched before watch the women's Final Four because of Caitlin Clark? How many of them are going to watch any game?
Way more likely
in the WNBA, but are they going to watch after the debut game at whoever the Indiana's, whatever that debut game is? How many people are watching more than just the one game?
College now, definitely is going to suffer more, Cody, I think, because of the Angel Reese thing as well. Like,
they still have some other stars. They've got some other really good players.
Paige Beckers and Juju, but I think that in terms of star power that draws eyeballs, I think, it's going to suffer a little bit.
Nothing draws. Look, all the numbers will come down a little bit without Caitlin Clark, but can they take enough of that percentage that grew their sport and just hold on to it? That's all you're asking to do.
I think,
you're not asking to do 2.2 million for the WNBA draft next year. You're asking to do a million, which would still be double what they were doing 2 years ago, and hold on to that number. And a lot of that's just going to be promoting her as an athlete, continuing to do that, because obviously that's worked in a big way.
Coming up next, though, we'll get to a hypothetical trade for the Chiefs next Thursday night, and if you'd actually push the button on it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is this for Royals closer Will Smith? He's starting to roll a little bit, huh?
Man, that would be a fun one to do. And the easiest one of all time. Mm.
Yeah, but you don't want to do one for the slump. You got to decide which way are you going
slump.
To praise?
I'm slump right now.
You're slump riding
well,
or are you praise?
Well, technically, I've been both.
Which one?
This year, specifically, my riding has been based in slumps.
Okay.
And helping people out of said slumps. So I don't have to do a Will Smith song.
Okay. We'll get back
that's a great song.
We'll get back to the Royals in a little bit. Also, again, we'll get a national perspective on the draft from Matt Verderam at Sports Illustrated coming up in 30 minutes. But with the draft being a week away, more and more of these hypothetical scenarios are coming out with trades, right? And one involves the Chicago Bears and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ryan Poles and Brett Future buddies.
Good
okay.
relationship. No, and we're not talking about a hypothetical trade involving the number one overall pick. They've got a couple other picks.
That would be wild.
we're talking about a hypothetical
trade.
Who
would trade. They take if they went number one overall? Marvin Harrison?
What do you think of this hypothetical? This is from NFL.com. the Chiefs would get the Bears' 9th overall pick.
Okay.
And they used the draft chart, so they made sure that it's actually realistic compensation. The Bears would get the Chiefs' first-round pick this year, so 32. Chiefs move up to 9. The Bears get the Chiefs' second-round pick this year, which is pick 64. Their fourth-round pick, which is pick 131. And next year's first-round pick, hopefully,
wow.
hopefully that's pick 32 as well. The compensation checks out in terms of the draft chart. It's actually a realistic trade in terms of...
They actually overpay, technically. Yeah. They give up more points than it's worth in order to move up.
A 22% premium based off of the draft spot. To move up 23 spots into the top 10, and you're like, okay, well, who are they getting? In this, it says the Chiefs go and get Travis Kelce's successor.
Bowers?
Brock Bowers.
First, I thought Bowers was sliding a little bit, like past 9 a little. But
there's
beyond
a couple
that...
Mocks. So here's where I'm at on this. I just don't think the Chiefs need to trade up in the top 10. Like, I don't need to give up all that.
So Pat, put that to aside for a minute. Do you fundamentally disagree with the idea that they need to
get
in the top 10?
Here's where I'm at on Brock Bowers anyway. If Travis Kelce privately told the Chiefs, like, hey, this is it. This is my last year. I'm giving it one more go. We're going for the three-peat. Then I'm a little more open to finding his successor, obviously, like a year early. And Bowers would be the nice fit for that. But if you actually think he's playing, and I know you do, for 2 or 3+ more years, we've joked, he's playing until he's 40.
I only think he's writing up his contract.
And so if you think that's how long he's playing, well, then I definitely don't need to trade up for Brock Bowers.
I'll be honest. If this was the going rate to get to 9, depending on the players that are still available, I'd do it. I'm not even kidding. I'd absolutely make this trade for the right player. Bowers might be one, but I would need more internal information about the number of years Travis Kelce was planning on playing. Travis Kelce walks in the door and he says, this is it, fellas. I'm hanging it up. I'm going to three-peat and then I'm walking out the door. Okay, Bowers. But if Rome Odunze was there and you're telling me for this exact same price, I could give up next year's first round, have the number 9 overall pick. So essentially I'm just giving up because forget this year's pick. Those are the same. Like, you're going to pick in the first round, and I'm going to pick in the first round. So I'm giving up next year's first, a second, and a fourth this year, and I can have Odunze with Patrick Mahomes, with Hollywood Brown, with Rashee Rice. Hell yes, I'd do it. I'd do it fast.
And in that hypothetical, and Kelce this year, too.
Yes.
So, yeah, that
I'd be all over this. It's about surrounding Patrick Mahomes with weapons. That's the job of the Chiefs. The job of the Chiefs during this window is put enough people around him that they win Super Bowls or can win a Super Bowl every damn year. I'll tell you right now, with that wide receiver crew, including Travis Kelce, I'd be feeling pretty good about it.
Would you do this trade for Joe Alt?
No,
not for a left tackle, no. And you know,
he'd need to be
that's what I wanted to ask.
He'd need to be a surefire guy.
He essentially is the surefire guy where he would be your Joe Thomas. He would be your left tackle of the future. You wouldn't trade. That's a lot.
Yeah,
to give up for a tackle, but that was why I wanted to ask.
Right, going in the top 10 is unnecessary, and I wouldn't do it for a left tackle, even though I think the Chiefs should draft a left tackle at some point, and maybe even at 32. You guys know that. And Odunze, I agree with you, Cody. Between if you told me they had to, like, they were forced to trade up to number 9 or 10, and there's Odunze or Brock Bowers, I would actually prefer Odunze. I'm with you, but. And this actual hypothetical trade, while the compensation is what it would take, it just reminds you of how difficult it is to move up. It's like yesterday we had Bink in studio and we were discussing his updated mock draft.
Yeah.
Which has the Chiefs trading up to what, 23 or 25, I think it was, to go and get a wide receiver. Like, the compensation to move up from 32 to even 5 spots, let alone, you know, what was it, 20 spots. That's a lot, man. Like, it takes a ton to do that, and I don't think the Chiefs, knowing that you have a general manager that when he has more darts to throw at the board has been great, I'm not doing that.
I guess I'm playing around with it a little bit, but what would you want Rome Odunze at 9? You would give all of that for sure if you could get a pass catcher. For nothing else.
I would seriously consider it if it was an Odunze or a Neighbors fell or something like that. Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's that much to give up for what you would be assured, in my opinion.
Because that's where they're going is 9 and 10.
Like, and there's still always risk. Guys who can take a 9th overall still fail. So you're taking an even bigger risk. But you know who it is. The odds of a wide receiver being a complete failure under Andy Reid are just generally kind of low. Sky Moore is the only real example. Again, I would point out, Mecole Hardman was actually he's been a decent NFL player. He's just not a great NFL player. He's a role-playing guy who's probably going to play in the NFL for 8 or 9 years, maybe 10. Like, he didn't do all that bad if you took a guy in the second round who plays 10 years in the NFL. You didn't bomb that pick. But a Dunze, something like that, I'd do it. Like, if it's that, I'd do it. You take away all the risk of whatever happens with Rashee Rice. That's just washed off of the planet. You take all the risk about, like, oh, no, what do we do if Travis Kelce's gone and he's going to have this, like, number one elite-level weapon? I think we're probably good there if he's got a Dunze. Like, for him, I'd definitely do it. For Bowers, if I knew, like, if Travis is out here telling me he's getting ready to be doing it, I might kick it around on that, too. Although, we pointed out, first-round tight ends and all pros, they don't go hand in hand, but tell me a guy who uses the tight end better than Andy. I mean, Travis was great before Andy showed up, but I mean, since, it's only been better.
Well, and say they do this trade for, and say it's for Dunze, they have one of the top, they have a top three receiving core, if not the best in the entire league.
Yep.
With Patrick Mahomes.
I'd do it. I know it's a crazy trade, but if for the right player, I'd do it.
It's a lot to give
up. Not for
Olt,
not likely for Bauer, but if it were a Dunze, or I don't know, like the cataclysmic result in, you know, these one or two people who think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the third wide receiver, fine. Or if it was Malik Nabers, right? If it's just one of those guys, I'd probably just do it. If it's Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., or Roma Dunze, you can have my first-round pick and next year's first-round pick and the second and fourth, and I'll go about my business.
From the 816 on the text line, you guys have any comments and thoughts on Tony going into next year? We will, actually. We have that planned around 11:15 or so. We'll talk a little bit about Kadarius Tony this offseason and what could happen closer to training camp. That is coming up a little bit later on in the show. But let's get back to the Royals a little bit. We mentioned the reason why they were able to have a 500 road trip is because the starting pitching still continues.
Great.
And the bullpen. Let's give the bullpen a little love during the road trip. The bullpen did very, very well. On top of that, if there's one thing right now with the starting rotation, is there anything that you've seen that concerns you?
I know sometimes that this comes out because people are like, hey, wait, why would this matter? He only gave up 2 earned runs yesterday in 5 innings, and his ERA is still barely over 1. I am officially concerned about Brady Singer's velocity. He got hit hard yesterday. Honestly, I think I got a little lucky. Like, sometimes this is the way the sport goes. I do not think he pitched very well. Despite that, he did not have, like, some high ERA. But the fastball velocity is down to, like, 90. That is way below what he normally would throw for that pitch, normally 92, 93, right? And there's a big difference in that in baseball. It's a bit concerning for me that he can continue that level of...
Are you saying that you
think
he's
this level of success if he's going to be throwing at that? He's in the 19th percentile for velocity in Major League Baseball. So he's one of the softest throwing pitchers. It's actually lower than that if you include in starters. And it seems like it's dipping. I'm just worried, like, his arm's tired, or we're going to, like, run into these problems where, like, he needs a starter too off, or the things you don't want to happen to
him. Well,
that's
rotation.
What
I was going to ask. Are you saying you think that he's kind of the next pitcher, unfortunately, we're going to hear about in baseball? I just saw another pitcher yesterday out for the season with elbow injury. I can't remember.
I don't want to put that on him. I just feel like the velocity is going down, down, down. And typically, when that's the case, you either need arm rest or you're going to start getting knocked around. Because until your arm velocity goes back up, or until your ball velocity goes back up, it's hard to get outs. He got outs yesterday. He had some hard hit outs, some loud ones, and thank God the wind was blowing in a couple of times, I think. Overall, Brady Singer's been very good. I thought maybe that was his worst start of the year, and he still went 5 innings, allowed 2 runs. I'm not trying to bury the guy. He did a nice job. What we asked starting pitchers to do, we did Cole Reagans a week ago. When you don't have it, all I'm asking you to do is battle and keep your team in it.
And that's what he did. He grinded through it.
But the velocity is the part.
Yeah.
It's not the way he... I love the way he battled. I love the way he fought. It's just specifically the speed of his pitch that concerns me. Does that make sense? I don't need to see that trend continue, or we have to start worrying about what happens when velocity goes down, both from a performance standpoint, as you pointed out, from an arm injury standpoint eventually.
Yeah, that's the part that I would be more worried about, if that's something that we could keep seeing, if that's actually what could lend our lead, I should say, into potential injury concerns down the road. But we'll see. Hopefully it was something to do with a little bit of the weather and other things as well on top of it. Was that a 2-start thing or is that a 1-start
thing?
2-start. 2 starts now?
Yeah. Technically, it's a 2-start thing. Both starts, the velocity was down. Just down. I mean, look, again, that does happen. I'm not saying that that's impossible. I'm just letting you know that where it is versus where it has been career-wise is down. The great news, again, for him is probably going back to what you said. The starting pitching overall. At some point, we're not even going to be able to come in the air anymore. Well, they can't maintain this level forever. And I'm like, I don't know. Well, they got the second best ERA, third best ERA in baseball from a starting pitching perspective. Maybe they can. It's hard to imagine right now. We are almost three full starts through the rotation once we get through a couple of more games this weekend. Everyone will have made three full cycles through. Reagan's has held true every time through. Singer's held true every time through. Lugo's held true every time through. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've managed to do it every single time. So I'm starting to feel like maybe they can do that. It's one of those, like, I'd just keep an eye out on it if I were you.
Well, the hope is you continue to, by the time, if you do have some outings that aren't going to be as strong, that the bats at that point are going again. And that's why they were able to still have a 500 road trip, is because the pitching backed up what you weren't getting from your offense. And in the past, you've had everything fall apart at once. And that's what leads to the 7-game losing streaks and things like that. But they've been able to keep everything afloat, to say the least. And that's ultimately still, for the month of April and really the first couple months, all I'm asking for. I know now everybody should be excited about what we're seeing. And hopefully the crowds this weekend are nice out at Kauffman Stadium for a team that is 12-7 and one of the best teams in baseball right now. It's time to go out there and start supporting them. But also, the bar is still very low. You know, stay afloat. Stay around 500. They happen to be above 500 right now, which is great. But that's all I'm asking for the first month plus of the season.
By the way, if you're looking for some stats about the, because I gave you the velocity, there's other things that are good for him. He's got a really good barrel rate. People don't like square him up very well. He gets a ton of ground balls, about more than 98% of the league, right? So there are things that work in his favor. But yeah, the starting pitching is, it's going to be what carries this team. And you know what? For the longest time, like, some of those adages, you know, like where you get tired of hearing me, like, starting pitching wins games. And something about the way they have played that stood out so much is exactly what you said, where you're just like, boy, they cannot hit. Like, for an entire 5-game stretch, 90% of the team, the lineup's just not hitting. They went 3-3. And you're like, well, how? How is it possible? Because they would have gone in previous years, let's be honest, with last year's rotation, that 6-game stretch is 1-5. Maybe 0-6, but definitely 1-5. And the early part of the season when they were above 500, it was worse too. They would, with last year's rotation, be 4 or 5 games under 500 with the exact same pitching. That's just very simple, the difference. It's an 8-9 game swing between what they got last year and the starting staff versus this year.
To play devil's advocate a little bit with the start, and I'm a believer in what they're doing, but on the flip side, some would look at and say, all right, they've played how many games against the White Sox? And we think the White Sox might be the worst team in baseball. I think there's still a lot of people that are like, all right, let's go see what you do against the Orioles. And this is what happens when you've had as many years in a row as they've had of lack of success.
You got to prove it.
You're going to have to prove it to people. And there's going to be different obstacles along the way, just from a fan standpoint. I'm not saying that the guys in the clubhouse have to worry about the past. I'm talking about from a fan perspective. And for a lot of fans still, I think they'd say, okay, well, they beat up on a bad team, which is something they haven't done in the past either, by the way.
Yeah, I'll take that. Are you kidding me?
But they did. Okay, so they've played 6-7 games against the White Sox, and they're 12-7. Orioles are a really good test.
They're 12-6.
Blue Jays are around the corner as well. So I think this next 6-plus game stretch is also pretty big from a fan buy-in. Although, as I already hinted at, I think we can talk more tomorrow. This weekend, you got a team that's 12-7. The weather's not going to be great, but it's also not going to be awful this weekend. I think there should be some good crowds Friday night and Saturday night. Like, there's, you know, it's a weekend. The school thing doesn't apply on Friday night and Saturday.
I'm just, like, going back through the record. It's too early to play strength of schedule, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's also a 162-game season. We all know that you can't run away from it forever. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody's trying to pretend like that's the case, but it's fine. I feel good about where they are. I hope that this homestand goes well tomorrow, and I'm confident that Michael Garcia will start hitting on Friday, as I've told you before. I've officially sent out the teaser photo for the song for tomorrow. So I guess you can now go look at that and try to decide what song it is based on that.
I have not taken a look.
You can look at it later. It's fine.
The other story that came out this week around baseball is a very baseball story. It has to do with, once again, the baseballs themselves.
And here we go.
Red Sox reliever Kenley Jansen criticizing the quality of, quote, embarrassing baseballs. He's now the second pitcher this year to publicly complain about the balls. And he's now, I think, 4 or 5 saves on the season. So it's not like he's been awful not having success himself. It's not like, oh, you're just stinking and you're trying to blame it on the baseballs. He's actually got 4 saves, 5 saves on the season for the Boston Red Sox. But he says, quote, He told WEEI, I don't know. I just hope we can get better quality balls. That's all I'm saying. It's embarrassing. Of course, pitchers cannot use illegal stuff. Great, I agree. But rub the balls. I get that. We try to favor hitters more now to create offense. We all get it. You can't pick no more. You've got to pitch with the pitch clock. We all get it. But at least give us some good balls, quality balls to throw strikes. That's all I'm asking.
First, pitchers are the biggest complainers in this.
Well, it's a very baseball thing.
So, yeah. I have to use the pitch clock. I'm sorry that everyone used to pitch fast, and you wish you got to take 17 minutes between pitches. But, dude, these games are taking 4 hours, and part of your job is entertainment. People want to watch the game, and people were watching the games less when they had to wait for you to scratch your ass for 10 minutes. So moving on from that for Kenley Jansen, he actually has a point on the baseballs. What the hell are we doing? I need someone to explain me that in a multi-billion dollar sport, that they still have some dude named Charles in a back closet individually rubbing baseballs with mud. How have we not gotten a machine? When was the Industrial Revolution? Like 150 years ago?
That's the second reference to the Industrial Revolution, this revolution this week from you, I think.
Can we not just automate the making of the baseball so that they are the same? I'm including, like, the baseball is automated. Why is some old dude still rubbing them with dirt in the back? What the hell are we doing? There's got to be a way to make this baseball better.
Quote, this was from Jansen as well in the article. If you play in the cold weather, windy, and you get pearls out there that aren't rubbed well, I don't know where the ball is going. I don't hit guys. I don't walk people this much.
Nobody likes a pearl that isn't rubbed well. I get it.
That's right, yeah. I started to get frustrated and pissed off enough that at some point I didn't care no more. Any balls that came, I just threw it back until I found a good ball. It's just brutal. Pete Fairbanks of the Rays also complained. Now, Pete Fairbanks, he's complaining because he didn't have anything going for him. And last night, his quote was fantastic as well. I don't know if we had the audio of it, but he struggled, to say the least, for the Rays. And so he might just be complaining because he's searching for anything right now. Anything for figuring out why he can't get things going down in Tampa.
There's just a lot of excuse making out of specifically pitchers. Like, the batters are never like, oh, and I get it. Like, a batter can pine tar up a bat to their comfort, or Vinny wears that like weird thumb thing. I don't know what that does, right?
Yeah.
On, you know, like on his grip. So it's not like there is an advantage, but also, like, it does seem like there should be some consistency in the baseball. That doesn't seem like a crazy notion to me.
It should be consistent, but this is like how many, every year there's some story in baseball about somebody thinks the baseballs are, well, we know what 2016, right?
The baseballs were different and all that.
But so I don't know if he's saying this or that the baseballs are different as much as they are. Some are, you know, have some more mud on them than others, essentially. Someone named Charles Cody actually texting in saying, what did you say I'm doing in the closet?
Trying to make the pearls.
I think the exact quote you said, Charles is in the closet rubbing balls. I think that's what you said.
Exactly what I said. No regrets. No regrets about the way I said that, because I just don't understand. Sometimes these sports, for as much money as they have in them, the antiquated technology part of it is always baffling to me. Look, for football, it's the chain gang.
And they still...
What are we doing here? Why are these guys stretching out a chain?
But you've seen the video.
We don't need this.
They still have somebody rubbing the football, right?
One seems to be complaining about it, except for the one time Tom Brady wanted them to be inflated less.
The Chiefs put out the franchise, one of the franchise episodes they do, and it was basically, they're rubbing out the football, and then they have Mahomes grip the football, and like, yeah, I like that one. Yeah, I like that one. And those are the game balls.
We can't do it that way.
I know.
Like, they're talking about, like, well, in football they do it that way. He's only got to get five right. He's got to take the glue stick to it five times. It's not that complicated. Patrick Mahomes might throw the same football the entire game. Like, if a baseball pitcher just wanted to agree to keep lugging this one thing back and forth unless it went out of the ballpark, we're talking.
Well, that's just a rule thing that needs to change anyway, because if, like Jansen said, he got a baseball, he didn't like it, he threw it out. That ball's gone forever. They slap a little MLB Authentics tag
charge
on it.
Charge you then, 35 then bucks
at,
for it in the shop.
Then at the K, you can go buy it for $15.99 or whatever.
And $35 bucks is the cheapest.
Sure, whatever, $35, yes. That's the same, you know, the point being, like, that's also ridiculous.
Well, yeah.
Every baseball, they throw it up. Can't use that one the rest of the game.
They are pretty wasteful. It's kind of shockingly wasteful at times, but whatever. I don't care.
Someone wants to know on the text line, is there a job that they put on their resume, professional ball rubber or something?
I don't even know how you begin to describe. You'd be like,
what do you do for a living?
Imagine trying to get a job after that. You'd be like, so what have you been doing for the last? You get laid off. You're like, what have you been doing for the last 20 years? I'm like, my only job was to sit back in this room, take this can of like Dr. Ottoman's you know, ball rub and then just put it on baseball.
So you rub balls for a living?
For the last 20 years, you're like, do you have any other skills? Like, do you input anything to a computer? It's like, nope, that's it, man. It's the only job. Okay, well, we're to work on that. It's just, I don't understand.
There's going to be some documentary someday on, you know, like on Randy Johnson or whatever, and there's going to be some guy that worked for the Diamondbacks. But yeah, Randy Johnson's success is attributed to this guy, and it's going to be Charles, like you said, and yeah. Charles in the closet. And
he's they
like,
had the best relationship.
I rubbed all of Randy Johnson's balls is what he's going to say in the doc.
Great stuff. Someone says, don't need it on your resume. Just show them. You know? Just show them how it works. That's a classic, you know, who needs, like, who wants a meeting if you could do a, you know, like a regular Word doc if you do a PowerPoint? This man's just going to give you
a... What, he has a demo, a demonstration, a demo reel?
He's got to show him his skill set.
He's giving a presentation.
Someone says maybe they just need to change the mud up. Maybe they got some bad mud there in Boston.
They've been using the same one since, like, Skip O'Hallahan in, like, 1890. I mean, it legitimately hasn't changed in, like, 50 years, I don't think.
Yeah, there's mud suppliers to the big leagues. One family harvests it along the Delaware River.
Oh, Kenley Jansen. You know what's weird? It's like, it doesn't seem to be bothering Cole Reagans in his 1.8 ERA. It's just you, huh? That's weird. All these other pitchers who seem to be doing great.
Someone from the 785 says their dad's friend worked for Goodyear for many years, and his resume said lube specialist.
I hope that was on the business card he handed out.
Just lube specialist. Someone said, hey, at least he's skilled and does manual labor.
It's true. Need more blue-collar workers.
Absolutely.
Not losers like us sitting in this office.
Coming up next, we'll talk with Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated. He also has a brand-new podcast we'll talk about. Plus, the hypothetical, we'll run that one by him, the same Chiefs hypothetical, and what he thinks the Chiefs should do at 32. Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.